Session number 919.
Lieutenant Colonel Forster, Reel 1. Colonel, do you come from a military background?
No, I don't, no. My brother, actually, was... he's died. He was in the Coldstream Guards. But my family, otherwise, haven't been in the military background at all.
How was it you came to join the cavalry?
Well, I always liked riding, and I was at Sandhurst, so I thought I had no commitments, any regimental commitments, and so I tried to join the 11th, with ours, and I was lucky enough to be taken by them.
Was there any specific reasons you wanted to join them?
No, I had a great friend, family friend, had a friend who'd been in them, and he put my name forward.
When you first joined them, what was your impression of them as a regiment?
Oh, I always got on, enjoyed it very much. They had a very nice lot of officers. They were very kind to the new boys. They were in India at the time, and I joined them out there.
What sort of training were you doing when you joined them out there?
We were part of a cavalry brigade in Meerut, and we did the normal training, the normal divisional training, and then we had army maneuvers as horsed soldiers.
What was the role that the 11th Hussars were playing and the cavalry generally?
Oh, the normal role of a cavalry brigade in a division, in an infantry division.
What was that, in fact?
Well, it was normal, and quite hard to describe it. It was, they were acting, in a cavalry role, which was really reconnaissance chiefly.
Did you sort of have to go out and look at the sort of where the enemy was and then report back?
Well, we're more than that, of course, because you see, we were a brigade, and, we had to fight in front of the infantry, really, as part of the reconnaissance.
When you joined them, was there any talk about what had happened during the First World War?
No, I don't think so, except the cavalry, as you know, really didn't take a great part after a bit when we got down to trench warfare, and they were put in the trenches, a lot of them, or held in readiness for the breakthrough that didn't come.
And was this talked about in the regiment at all?
No, not really. I think, soldiering those days wasn't terribly serious. And we used to have a lot of fun, and the clever ones went to the staff college and learned higher warfare, but otherwise, people just enjoyed themselves and, with a bit of soldiering, pushed in.
Was there any talk, for example, that the tank corps had arrived and that this was possibly a threat to the cavalry?
No, I don't think so. I don't think anybody at that period, which was about 1925, 23, 24, 25, ever thought of that then. But the tanks, you see, really hadn't taken a great part in the war, in the First War, and I don't think anybody realised that the whole of the army would be more or less mechanised in the end, at least a great deal. And so we didn't really discuss it, but I can remember, we may have.
you would say then that when you joined them, when you were at Sandhurst, the cavalry was seen to have, a horse cavalry was seen to have a long future.
Well, I don't, yes, I suppose so, but you know, one didn't think so much then as a junior officer about the future of the army, at least I didn't. But I suppose a lot of the generals and the more senior officers did. They must have realised what was eventually going to happen.
When you did those divisional exercises, did you worked alongside other arms, did you? At that
oh,
time?
Yes, the whole lot. You know, we had two Indian cavalry regiments with us and Indian infantry and British infantry. Yeah, we had the whole division.
Would you say that the cavalry experience of the First World War had altered what the cavalry were doing afterwards, what the sort of things you were doing?
I don't think so. I wasn't in the First War, but I don't imagine the things worked very slowly then. And India, you see, it was rather different. We were really more out there just, well, we'd been there all the time, as you know, and a lot of our job was possible internal security and training for when we came home to England. See, we did about 7 years out there then, Egypt and then India, and then about 7 years at home.
Was there, while you were out there, any rumour at all of the possibility of mechanisation?
No, not that I remember. I don't think so.
When did you first hear that there was a possibility that this would happen to the 11th Hussars?
Well, I don't remember hearing it at all until it actually happened. Because, you see, a lot of the cavalry regiments had been amalgamated, and nobody quite knew if we were going to be the next to be amalgamated. We were the junior regiment then, in numbers, we were 11th, and I don't think people realised whether we'd be amalgamated just as cavalry or whether we might possibly be mechanised. But I don't remember it at all. I don't remember rumours, but there may have been.
How do you recall that actually happening?
Well, I recall it happening when we were called into the anteroom of the mess and said that our colonel wanted to speak to us. And we all sat down, and then he came in and he said, "I must tell you that you're going to be mechanized." And everybody hopes that nobody will go, and we'll remain as we are now, to the extent of the present officers. And I'm very sorry, you know, to have to say it, but it's got to happen. And we will be amalgamated, we will be the first, ourselves and the 12th Lancers, to be mechanized. That was before lunch. As far as I can remember, it's a long time ago now. And that was the first that really hit everybody.
It would be Colonel Pittman, was it?
Yes, it was Colonel Pittman, our Colonel-in-Chief, not the, the commanding officer of the regiment. He'd been to the War Office and been told. And, of course, it caused a lot of discussion and was terrific upset, you know, the whole of one's life being altered suddenly like that. But we all decided to stay. Well, nearly all. I think one or two left, the senior officers. But practically everybody decided to stop on and see what happened. And then we settled down to it. And of course, they gave us several things to try and make us stop on. We were allowed to keep two horses each, chargers, government horses, with the forage which we always had given us, which we could use as hunters or polar ponies. And they let us keep that, and they let us keep a groom, soldier servant as a groom, which was, of course, a very big help. Instead of taking everything away, you know, straight away. Of course, we lost them all eventually, but they were very good about letting us keep them for a bit.
Would you say that you saw that announcement as a sort of order, was it? That this would
have... Oh, yes, it was an order. What was going to happen? There was no answer to it.
And was your reaction one of, well, I'll just have to get on with it, was it?
Yes. Yes, it was. I think everybody was rather horrified, but, you know, it just struck one, and that was it.
When you mentioned that people left the regiment, were there many people who did that?
No. I think, if I remember, our present colonel, Sutton, I think he only had a couple of years to do anyhow, and I think, if I remember rightly, he left. I think there were one or two others, you know, but it's an awful long time now. But certainly none of the junior officers left.
Was it seen in any sort of light as being something to the advantage of the 11th Hussars to be mechanised?
Yes, it was. I think they did, when one had sort of got over the initial shock and people had discussed the situation, and of course we had a lot of buttering up from the senior, from the War Office and one thing and another, one realised that... we in the 12th had the advantage of being the first, because it then appeared that the cavalry were going to be mechanized over a period of time entirely, and therefore we were first in, and would obviously sort of, they'd look into our experience, and it was up to us to do it well.
Were you told at that meeting, or very shortly afterwards, the sort of procedure that would be adopted?
Yes, we were. Not actually at that meeting, because, you know, that was just the what was going to happen. But we were then told that we'd have to go round to Dorset and learn gunnery and the engines of the armoured cars, which we were going to be, and we'd all have to go on courses. And then the horses would go. I've forgotten how long they took to go, but they went fairly quickly back to remounts. And we then went off fairly soon down to a place called Hydehow, down to Wareham in Dorset, to learn from the tank corps how the things worked, and tank gunnery at Lulworth Gunnery School. But that was... And I think it was fairly quick. I don't think they kept us hanging about very long, if I remember rightly.
Would you say that the way in which that was, the thing was told to you, was done well?
Well, I don't see any way they could tell it really better. I mean, they told our colonel, and otherwise it would merely come through on a bit of paper. Now, I think it was the only way they could do it, really. And at the same time, you know, as he told us, he gave us a pep talk and said he hoped that the, you know, the regiment would carry on with its traditions and everything, which they couldn't very well have said as an official bit of paper to the orderly room.
What were the sergeant's reactions, the troopers' reactions?
Well, I don't really know. I can't remember. I think, you know, they just took it as a bit of army service. Now, I suppose the senior NCOs were probably upset over it, but the ordinary, the troopers, I don't think, as far as I can remember, they thought an awful lot of it.
Were there any, to your knowledge, who said, right, well, I won't stay?
No, I don't know of anybody. But again, you know, it was 30... It was 50 years ago now, pretty well.
Would you say, looking back, that after you'd been mechanized, if you just jump for one question,
yeah,
mechanization became accepted and even welcomed?
Well, it was accepted. I shouldn't have said that it was really welcomed. But it was accepted, and of course, it just had one advantage that, you know, if you went away for the weekend, you could lock the garage door instead of having to feed your horses twice, three times a day in stables and all the rest of it. Take them out to water, all the things one did when one wasn't actually working. And, that was about the only advantage, I think, people thought. And, of course, they still did have their charges, you know, allowed them for, which helped financially a lot.
Were you at all mechanically minded at this time, before going down?
No, I wasn't really. I'd had a motor bicycle when I was at Sandhurst. It's all my mechanization, really. And I think I used to drive the car at home. Nobody minded much then. But that was all, really. I didn't know about the inside of it much.
Were other officers also in the same position?
Yes, I think so.
Was there a sort of reaction to getting dirty, if you like, getting oiled up and things? Was that prospect sort of...
No, I don't think that occurred to one.
Why did you, when you went to Bovington, you took a house? Why was this done?
Well, I think there were a lot of us. And whether they could had room for us in the mess, I don't know. I never thought about that. But on the other hand, it was very comfortable having a house, you know, a country house, and coming back from work into a nice place. And it had a bit of everything. It had a bit of fishing and a bit of shooting. And it happened to be going vacant. And so we just hired it for a short period, really. But I should think that... looking back, there probably wasn't much room for us, really, in the officers' quarters.
Who would have taken that decision? To...
Well, I don't know who took it, really. I suppose the colonel took it with the commanding officer of the Bovington camp, I suppose. I don't really know. What happened?
While you were at Bovington, while the officers were at Bovington, what happened to the regiment, the troopers and sergeants and people?
Well, they still had to look after the horses. You see, they hadn't all gone horses then. And, you know, normal maintenance and looking after the barracks and all the rest of it. And I think I'm not sure whether any of them went down there as well to Bovington. But I don't really know quite what they do now, looking back, what they did do.
What was your impression of the tank corps when you went down there?
Oh, all right, really. They instructed us quite well. But I think we got on all right. I don't think they probably cared much for the cavalry joining, you know, coming into their jobs and things. Well, not coming into their jobs quite, but I suppose some of them realised what was going to happen later on, you know, when there was half cavalry and half tank corps. But we got on all right.
You think some of them saw you as a sort of threat?
Well, not quite a threat, but I suppose, yes, I suppose you could say it was a bit of a threat to the good jobs and one thing and another. But I never discussed it with them, so I don't really know.
How did the training take place? You spent the day...
Well, we went in the morning. It's quite close, and as far as I remember, we came back to lunch, then went in again in the afternoon.
That was for driving and maintenance, was it?
That was for learning, yes, the whole thing about the Rolls-Royce armoured car. You know, lectures on all the bits of the engine, and, well, learning all about a motor car.
What were you being instructed for? What sort of job were you...
Reconnaissance. But then we didn't... tactics didn't come into it then much. It was all entirely mechanical.
But was the instruction aimed at making you competent to instruct as well?
Yes, to instruct, yes, mechanically. But it wasn't a tactical school of any sort.
Would you say at the end of that you were able to do that?
Well, yes, I think one was up to a point, but... I think the real people who learnt... the mechanical part probably was more the NCOs and things, you know, who were probably in a way more mechanically minded than us. And one supervised like one did as an officer in any other form of work. But they probably took the classes, as far as I can remember, of the soldiers, taught them mechanics and gunnery and all the rest of it.
That was when you got back to...
Yes, when we got back, when the thing was over. And then when the mechanical part was over, they went on to... I didn't actually go, but some went on to the gunnery school, which was at Lulworth. And they went through the same thing with the gun. Shot on the range and, you know... all the rest of it. And I went back to Aldershot, actually.
How well did the officers cope with this driving and maintenance course?
I think very well, really. It was... summer time, it was rather hot and rather difficult sometimes to keep awake. But I think on the whole they got on very well.
How long were you actually working on the driving side?
I'm not sure. I think it was about a couple of months, as far as I can remember. I really can't remember. And then it was the same at Lulworth, I think.
Did you take the cars out and drive them around?
Oh, yes, we drove for miles, yes.
What were the main aims of the instruction on the driving? Was there any particular...?
No, it was just, you know, they this is a long time ago, you know, and a lot of people hadn't driven motors much, and they are very heavy and clumsy then, and they weren't very easy to handle, really. The brakes weren't very good, you know, and all those sort of things. And they made you drive, really. Tried to make you drive well and change gear without using your clutch and that sort of thing, you know, more, some of the more forward thing. But that part, I don't think, presented any difficulty, really.
Did they have a whole set at Bovington then of Rolls Royces for training purposes?
Did they have a what?
Did they have a whole set of Rolls Royces then?
No, well, they were the ordinary cars at the school, you know, that we used for instruction and from their own people as well, I suppose. And they had sergeant instructors.
How did you find the tank corps instructors? Were they helpful?
Very, very good, yes, very good. They'd been on it, you know, quite a long time. They were very mechanical minded. And they were very good, I think. So we saw mostly NCOs, you know, doing the actual lecturing on the mechanics of the...